Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Well, thank you. Thank you because as we listen to your word today, there is a change. There is a change. Even in the midst of so much activities, as the word of God comes to us today, we are improved. Yes, our vision is enlarged. We see clearer. We are more resolute. Thank you, Father. Insight and understanding is granted unto us, and the glory of God in our lives increase. Thank you, Father. As we're worshiping or someone, you have an, I don't know how to put it, intestine stomach issue. Okay? It's like there's food that is refusing to digest, and it's like it's blocking. You've thought of appendicitis, maybe that is it. But I'm just announcing to you that it's gone. Yeah. It's gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say glory. Glory. All right, you can have your seat. Good morning, everybody. When we come to God's house, we come to hear the word. Because the word of God made everything. Praise the Lord. Okay, I was saying that the word of God is most important. Because the word of God made everything. And the Bible tells us that in Mark chapter 6, Jesus just heard bad news. When you study Matthew 14, you'd realize you just heard bad news. He just heard that his older cousin, the one who inaugurated him and began his ministry, the one called John the Baptist, had just been killed by Herod, had just been beheaded. And the Bible says when he heard that, at that moment, his disciples just returned from preaching. And so he was taking them to a quiet place, a deserted place. He wanted to be alone. But the Bible says, while they were going, people saw him and they ran with their leg and they went to where he was going before him. Do you understand? Yes, and so by the time he got to the land, the Bible says he saw so many people. You know, if you are not in a good mood, and let's say you just heard someone you love so much just passed on, or you just got a sack letter and you're going back home, you open the door and you see so many people there. You were not expecting them. They come and say, we must eat, and you just heard bad news. Chances are you'd say, please go. That's what you do. The Bible says when Jesus saw the multitude, the Bible says he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and then he started teaching them. I want you to understand how he taught. These people came for something, and he thought what they needed was the word of God. He had said that the word of God is like a seed, that when you hear, that seed is planted inside of you for a purpose, to produce results. So the guy who comes and is jobless, when he hears the word of God, something enters inside of him. And when that seed produces results, he'll become fruitful in his life. The joblessness would cease. So God thinks the most important thing on the earth is his word, his words. When he met Solomon, he made him the wisest man that ever lived at that time. How did he do it? Did he give him a tablet? No. Did he give him a crown? No. Did he give him agbada? No. He just spoke it. He believed as he told him something would change in his life. And you know what? When he said it, something changed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so when you come to church, there are two different kinds of people. There are those that come to church just for coming's sake. They come, they sit down. Nothing changes in their life. That's why you have people who have been to church for years. There's no improvement. There's no change. They still talk the same way. They still look the same way. They still have the same issues. But you have somebody that will attend service consistently for 1 month. And even you can see the change. Why? Because of how they receive the word of God. God cannot help you beyond his word. Do you know?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Look at the back. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pastor.
God cannot help you beyond his word. What do you want? What do you want God to do for you? Say, I just want peace. I just want peace in my house. We're always quarreling. If God showed up, all he would do is talk. That's why he has not showed up. Why? Because he has said something already. Do you understand? He has said something already. That's why he has not showed up. If I've told you, go and buy bread, and you come back and say, please tell me to buy bread. Please tell me to buy bread. Should I say anything again? I've already told you. In fact, I didn't just tell you. I wrote it. So in case you forget, you can go and pick up what I wrote. Go and buy bread. And you buy the bread. So God did not just speak. It was written. So in case you forget, you can go and pick up your Bible and remember. It says, be anxious for nothing. It says, be anxious for nothing. All of that to say, pay attention to me now. All right? I know some of you are trying to memorize your verse. If you don't pay attention to me, that's for sure. You'll not win it. So you want to win, pay attention. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk about three things briefly today. Okay, put your phone on silent. Thank you for reminding us. All right, put your phone on silent. Three things today. I want to talk about family. I want to talk about friendship. I want to talk about culture. And you will learn something. I'll be really fast so that we can continue our games. I said family, friendship, and what? Culture. And I'm going to look at it in a unique perspective. So let's start with family. I was thinking last week and this week how that it's so important for you to know the Word of God. It will help you in your relationships. It will help you not make the wrong decisions in your relationships. One thing that came to my mind, you know, consistently during the week. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Two of us at the back. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. You're doing well. All right. One thing that came to my mind consistently, you know, you have families that have scattered. Or they have isolated one member of the family. Why? Because of rumor. Because someone told them something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, Pastor.
They've isolated that member of the family. Because somebody came and said, so-and-so has been talking about you. The reason why you didn't get that job is because of so-and-so. They don't want to have anything to do with that member of the family. At times it could be their mother. I'm talking about the kids now. They are grown up. But they don't call their parents at home. They don't want to have anything to do. Why? Because someone told them something. Let me tell you something. Never make a decision based on hearsay, rumor. Are you in this place?
Yes,
never. At times someone could say, it's not rumor. I was struggling. And then a prophet or a prophetess came and told me the cause of my problems. One prophetess came and said, the reason why you're having so and so issue is because of your grandmother in the village. Why would the prophetess be bold enough to say that nonsense? Because they know the grandmother is not there. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
If the grandmother was there, they'll be careful. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it a puzzle? If a man and his wife took their children to one of those prophets, they never say it's your husband that is the problem. They will call someone that is not there. Because if they say it's your husband, they might end up somewhere. And then they say that, and now the family alienates the grandmother. And she doesn't know what happened. They say, okay, the person's a witch. But that's why there is deliverance. Is that not so?
Yes,
come on, talk to me. Is that not why there's deliverance? That's why there's deliverance. Someone says, no. What happened was, and this is the funniest, someone was possessed in our house. So we're casting out the devil. And so it's the house help. It's the house help we brought. We're praying, doing prayer, still doing like this. Say, demon, come out. Demon said, no, I'm not going. And he said, who sent you? Let me tell you something. I listen to me. Because there are people who really believe that thing. If they see someone shaking, it's your grandmother that sent me. They really believe. Don't believe demons. They lie.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
Jesus said there is no truth in them. So they don't have the ability to say the truth. They lie. And you have these demons, they are so comical. Now, whoever is asking them, where did you come from? They too, they'll start playing on those days. On those days. You say, Ondo, who sent you? He's a family member. He's a family member. And the demon is lying. Now, guess what? The family takes instructions from that demon. Say, what do we do? So you go out, bring salt. Bring salt, bring pepper, and it's not going anywhere. So many families have been scattered. You could be here right now. And the reason why you don't visit your neighbor is because they told you that neighbor is responsible for your problems. Listen, greater is he that is in you. If you heard that it was a neighbor that was doing you, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Greet the neighbor. You are greater.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
Greet the neighbor. You are the one in charge.
Yes.
It doesn't mean anything. Don't alienate family because of what someone else said. Let me tell you something. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
The greater, the lesser is included in the greater. So in this great ministry of reconciliation, there are lesser reconciliations we should be involved in. What does that tell you? It means the Spirit of God is a spirit of reconciliation. If it was true that it was a family member that was doing you, he would not come to divide the family. He would come to reconcile. Remember, the Bible says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So it's not that family member, it's a demon. And when the Spirit of God comes, that demon checks out and that person is delivered. And so any wisdom or information that causes more strife, more division. Listen, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You have to know that as a Christian, you can verify statements. You can verify it with the Word of God. I can tell you, anybody that is telling you information about your family members, and that information will cause more division. It's not from God. It's not from God. It's not. Why? He came to what? Reconcile. It's not from God. And so that's why I said knowing the Word of God is so important in your family relationship. Now you have people who have alienated so and so. Maybe it's a brother. He doesn't talk to the sister anymore. The Bible says those who do such things, they are worse than unbelievers in God's eyes. I said, I'm talking about family. Don't let outside forces divide your family. Don't listen to demons. I know where they got the inspiration from. People who listen to demons and say they're in deliverance ministry. They got the inspiration from Jesus when he was casting out that demon. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And he asked the demon, I want to show you demons lie. They can't say the truth. He asked the demon, what is your name? Do you remember?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Benga, can you hear me? All right. He asked the demon, what is your name? The demon said, Legion. Is Legion a name? Talk to me. Is Legion a name?
No.
It's a number. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
If I ask what is your name, you say many. Is that a name? They can't say the right thing. And so he just stopped and said, all right, get out. So people who try to get information where the demon comes, you think he's going to tell you? Can't say the truth. He'll lie. He will cause more confusion. That's his purpose. To kill, to steal, and to what? Now the mom likes his auntie. The demon says the auntie. He has destroyed that relationship. He has stolen the joy. Don't listen to devils. Listen to the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You could be casting out the devil. Say, wait, before I go, I must tell you who sent me. Say, shut up. Get out. I must tell you who sent me. We know who sent you. His name is Satan. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Your family is so important. The Bible says, let's go there now. Ephesians 6. Quickly. Ephesians 6. 6. Verse 1. 6 verse 1. I read it. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. He's saying this is something that you do, that you can expect something to happen. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Look outside the back. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pastor.
Please respond, okay? Let me be sure that you can hear me. It says, honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee. I always think about this verse. He says, that it may be well with thee. So does that mean if I don't honor my father and mother, it will not be well with me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. Does that mean if I don't honor them, it will not be well with me? Yes. This is from God, not your elder in the village. This is from God. He says, if you don't honor them, what is honor? The way you talk about them is so important. He says, that old man just called me. Why are they calling old man? Father. Don't mind that woman. Women, that's how they are. Who is he talking about? His mother. You think she cannot hear you? It's when they can hear me that I'm dishonoring them. No, God is everywhere. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Let me tell you a story. Then we'll go to friendship. The Bible says, Esau and Jacob, Esau went hunting one day, and he came back and he was so hungry. And then he met Jacob. Jacob was cooking porridge. See, Jacob was a mommy's boy. Are you in this place? You know, they were twins. One was more manly. That's Esau. He's always going to the field, you know, the man's man. Jacob was more homely. He knew how to cook. When Esau came, he was in the house. He's the one that cleans the house. Praise the Lord. So if you notice, Isaac didn't really like Jacob. He liked Esau. But the mother liked Jacob. All right. So Esau came back and saw his brother cooking. And then he said, brother, please, can I have some porridge? I'm so hungry. And Jacob said, oh, okay. Give me your birthright. If you eat this porridge, I want to be the firstborn. And Esau thought and said, what is birthright compared to porridge? Bring the porridge. You want to be firstborn, you're not firstborn. Bring the porridge. And he ate it. Why did he do that? He thought he was just talking. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
Nobody was there. They didn't go and announce to their parents, mommy, daddy, now I want to say I'm no longer firstborn. This is the firstborn. They didn't do that. So he thought he was just talking. And he said, all right, you're not the firstborn. Bring the porridge. But you see, God was there. The time came when Isaac was going to bless the firstborn. And Esau, even though he wanted it, did not get it. Why? Because he already sold his birthright. My point is, when he was doing that, he thought nobody was there. He thought he could play a fast one. He was just talking, but God was there. So when you're calling your mom, all women are the same. You think she's not there, she can't hear it. But God is there. And he's the one that said, honor them, that it will be what? Well with you. Why is it that when you go for job interviews, I mean important ones, 250,000 naira job, there are 10 stages. See this country. You pass the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. Only three of you. You are happy. You don't get it. He says from the village. He says, if you want things to be well with you, check how you relate with your parents. It is God that said it. And he is correct. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Some people, you've been working for years. You've never bought your parents anything. Never. You've never bought them anything. You always call them to say they should understand. They should understand. When are you going to catapult yourself into that place where you start giving without being asked? Until someone is about to die, that is when you bring out the money. And say, oh yeah, don't die. Take. No, that is poverty. That's not how God treats you. Is it when you're about to die that he gives you something?
No.
Come and talk to me.
No.
Is it when you're about to die that he blesses you?
No.
So be like him. Says, be a perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. How do you honor them? You give them things. You give them things. Okay, we know. Your profit every day is 3,000 naira. Buy a recharge card. Let me tell you something. He says that is how to make things well with you. Buy a recharge card. You have some ladies, they buy the most expensive Yvonne, but their mom is going to barber hair. You say, ah, things are hard, things are hard. How much is that human hair? 75,000. If you know how I struggled to buy this thing, I will use it for 10 years. You're buying hair that is not your own. 75,000 naira. But your mom is going to cut her hair. It's not you, but that person is a bad child. No, that's 75. Listen, let me tell you something. I send things home. I don't do it just because I love them. Of course I love them, all right? But when I'm sending things home, hey, you should see, if you could enter my mind to see my disposition, you'll be jumping. Why? Because I know this is part of it. I like to know what God wants me to do for my own success. Are you saying it? And he just told me that if I want things to be well with me, I should honor my parents. I can't joke with that because I want things to be well with me. So if I'm sending something very large, they are happy. Me, I'm happy too. Because I know things will change. Then he says, look at it. That's not the only thing. So beautiful. He says, then we well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Wow. Wow. So there is something I can do that can ensure my life to be long. This is long life when you honor them. This is long life. So if you grew up not honoring your parents, repent. Change. You want things to be well with you? Honor them. Call them and apologize. Don't say, okay, I've heard. From today, I'll honor them, but I'm not apologizing. Call them. Say, I'm sorry. The way I've been talking to you, honey, pray for me, please. Let me tell you something. They say beggars don't have choice. All right? You want things to be well with you. It's not time for you to do shakara. Just say, please, I'm sorry. Please. And they will forgive you. And they will pray for you. They see that open door you have been waiting for to be like magic. Someone will just call you. Do this, do that. Why? Because you're doing the right thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're doing the right thing. When Jesus, learned from Jesus, when Jesus was on that cross, you know who was close to him? His family members, his mom, his auntie, his cousin, and Mary Magdalene. Close family. On that... You have that guy that said, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I'm not sending anything home. They should understand things are tough. Let me tell you something. You cannot have anything as nothing as Jesus had on that cross. The Bible says, on that cross, he became poor. So if he was rich before, there he was poor. On that cross with his mom there, he was still thinking about her. He told John, woman, your son, man, your mother. What's he doing? He's taking care of his mom. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
He's taking care of his mom. On the cross, he's thinking about taking care of his mom. The Bible says, from that day, John took her into his home. She has a new son. Meaning that everything John would have done for her after that was what Jesus was doing for her. If Jesus honored his mom like that, then what excuse do you have? You earn 30,000 naira, Send 1-5 credits. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Do that. I'm teaching you how, through the word, you can be successful. But honor your parents. Honor them. You have students, every time you write the exam, I told you last week, you get 57C, 68B, 49D, 39.5F. You don't understand. Why you're angry that your mom calls you? Say, what is it? Leave me, Joe. Leave me. They say intelligence is inherited. I don't know. You get angry with them. You are making your situation worse. You don't even know. You're angry with them. No. If you notice, it's like it's juju. Every time you write the exam, okay, finally, you got 78. The lecturer said, no, there's a mistake. We have to remove two. We have to remove two from everybody. It's the CNB. Go to your house. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Buy something. If it's beverage, buy. Someone says, but I don't want to send me allowance. I know. Still use the money. When they send it to you, it becomes your own. Right?
Yes.
So use it. Go and buy beverage. Buy stuff. Say, I just brought it home. I want to apologize for everything I've been saying to you. It's very bad. Please pray for me because my results are. You can be direct, but things will change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's family. I want to talk about friendship. Friendship. Your friends say a lot about you. If you're friends with three drunks, can be drunkards, that means you're a drunk. Are you in this place? Even physically, where you're going to in life will determine who you spend time with. If you were going to Ojo Elegba from this place, which bus will you enter? Is it not the bus going to Ojo Elegba? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If you are going to Ikeja, is the bus going to Ikeja? So the people that you will spend time with in that journey are people going to the same place as you. In life, where do you want to be? Where do you see? What is your future like? That is the determinant with which you make friends. You don't just make friends everywhere or anyhow. Say, it's my guy, it's my guy. What do you want to be? You want to be a cleaner? Where do you want to, what do you want to be? President. So, when you become president, he'll be cleaning for you. No. You make friends that are in line with your destination, your destiny. Are you saying it?
Yes, Pastor.
And you can choose your friends. You know, some people don't know they can choose friends. They only know they can refuse friends. So maybe you have become my friend, but I realize you're doing something bad. Then I change it. No, you can choose friends. Because it's your life. Your association would make you or break you. You can choose friends. And if you're going to have friends, let it be friends that are inspiring. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
Friends that inspire you. Friends that talk about the future. You, if in school, just in school, university or secondary, whatever, you have friends that you see them, they're a clique, and they're always solving questions. They're always looking at questions. You can tell those people are serious about passing exams. Are you saying it?
Yes, Pastor.
You have the ones that are always playing game. Always playing game. But they don't plan to be gamers. You ask, what do you want to be, a lawyer? What do you want to be, a doctor? But he's always playing game. That's someone who has not yet learned how to fix his experiences to match his destiny. And so you can keep that friend somewhere. That's a friend for a purpose. But you focus on those that are going to the same destination as you are. Have friends that are full of faith, full of hope. You're a Christian. You can't have friends anyhow. You know, at times I think about it. Some people, they come to church, they hear the word of God. While they are listening to the word of God in church right now, like I just said now about honoring your parents, there are people that they have insulted their father before. And they're hearing me and they're thinking, I have to go and apologize. Now that we close service, we take pictures, they go and they meet that friend. And then, see what I learned in church today. Even if I have to go and apologize to my father, say, you mean the same man that kicked you out just because you stole 10 naira, did not care about you. What are you apologizing for? Says, yes. You start remembering how you were sleeping on that bridge. How you didn't have food. That man is a wicked man. No. No. I'm not apologizing. It's not my father again. Only my father is God. God, I'm sorry. It's not my father again. You see, your friend has influenced you in the wrong direction. If you had the right friend, the friend would tell you something different. And so one of the things that God, you know, association is God's idea. That's why no child is born outside of a family. God thinks you need people to grow. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
You need people. So beyond your family, you have your friends. You need them to grow. But you have to choose them. At times you could have friends that all of you have called yourself jokers. You're all jokers. You're always joking. You come to church, you are joking. Everything is funny to you. Why is this thing blue? Two blue. Why are there two different blue? Ha ha ha. And there's three blue. Everything is a joke to you. All of you, you're like that. It's good. When you have decided I want to be serious with my life, you can go and meet them. Say, I'm not joking again. I'm not joking. There's no point. You go and meet them. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You go and meet them and say, look, this thing I want to stop. I want us to be serious. I want us to be serious. And you know what? They can even tell you, in their mind, they've been waiting for someone to say that thing. They too, they want to be serious. But they're just looking, waiting for someone to say it. Now you've said it, they'll back you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
They'll back you. But your friends are so important. Look at your friends. Think about your friends. What's their plan? What's their vision? Is that your plan? Is that your vision? Do they have a plan? Do they have a vision? They are a reflection of who you are. But the good news is you can change. One example that comes to mind is that of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they went preaching in Acts 16. And the Bible says there was a little girl that was possessed with a demon. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Possessed with a demon. And every time Paul and Silas were going to preach, she would come and say, "These men are the men of God. They are preaching the right way." She was saying something nice. But Paul was irritated in his spirit because he knows this is a demon. And so one day, she came again. Paul, get out. And then she was well. But here's the problem. Her owners, because she was a slave girl, her owners were using that to get money. Do you understand? So she sees the future. So she'll sit down. Someone will come and say, "Please, it's okay. When will I get married?" She said, you're not married. You're not married. And they would have paid her money. Are you in this place? So they were making money until Paul cast out the demon and they were angry. The Bible says they arrested Paul. Now, Paul was with Silas. You know, they did not just arrest Paul. They arrested Silas too. Now, if you were Silas, you were on your own. It's not you that said anything to the girl. And they arrest you on top of something you don't know. What are you going to do? In the prison, he said, "Look, I just want to tell you the friendship is over. As you are going out of this place, I don't know you, you don't know me." Is that what happened? No. That says Paul and Silas, they prayed. So even if he knew he was in this place unjustly, he still thought, "Paul, I will pray with you." They sang. Bible says the prisoners heard them. And the Bible says there was an earthquake in that jail. That is an inspiring friend. A friend that is full of faith. You need friends like that.
Yes.
You want to be a serious Christian? Who are your friends? I'm not saying that you must go and look for a bishop to be your friend. I'm saying your friends, do they want to be serious too? Can you inspire them? At times there's a timeline you can inspire your friends. Say, "Let's go winning souls together." But if they are not moving body, go and look for other people because you have a destination. God has a plan for your life. Look for others. But choose wise friends. And let me tell you the best kind of friends to have. The best kind of friends to have are friends that think about the future, not just today. Both on this earth and after this earth. Those are the best kind of friends to have. So you can't just do anything. Why? Because they're thinking about the future. They're thinking about a great future. Have friends that would make you wise and rich, but I mean spiritually. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And only your souls would you take to heaven. That is wealth. Have friends that are kingdom-minded. I think all of you might not be kingdom-minded, it's true. But you can sit and say, "You know what? We are going to inspire ourselves. Your life is too important to be playing around." Have the right kind of friends. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And lastly, culture. Go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. If you're there, say, "I'm there." If you're not there, say, "Wait for me." So you buy all of us bobo for waiting for you. Verse 1. I'll read it. Look into your Bible. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now when you look at this thing physically, look at it normally, you just think, "Oh, God told him to leave his country, to leave his people, and to travel." But when you read Hebrews 11, you realize that Abraham understood this instruction. He knew it wasn't just about leaving a physical place and going for one physical place. He knew that it was about principles and cultures. Okay, look at Hebrews 11. I'll read it if you're not there before me. Hebrews 11, verse 10. Or verse 9. "By faith he sojourned in the land of," we're talking about Abraham, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is what? God. So he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Is there such a city on this earth that God built with his hand? No. So he knew the instruction was a spiritual one. So when God said, get out of your country, he's saying, leave the culture behind. Leave the mindset behind. He says, get out from your kindred. But he took Lot. Lot was his kindred. Are you in this place? He took Lot. So he knew it was not just about physical things. He knew it meant the culture of your family. And this is what I mean. I'm saying, let's forget African culture. No. What I'm saying is this. There are people that grew up with the wrong culture. A culture, for example, of malice and quarrel. Malice and quarrel. In their house, the siblings are quarreling, keeping malice with themselves. Then the family, that flat, is quarreling with another flat in the compound. And in their village, their house, their town, they are quarreling with another house and town. Every time someone gets them upset, their response is malice and quarrel. God says, come out from that country. Get out of there. Get out of there. The people who grow up. You see, because the way you grow up can determine what you think about or how you think. And how you think will definitely determine how you end up in life. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If any time someone says something, there are people that you cannot correct them. It's the culture they grew up from or grew up with. You can't correct them. The day you try to correct them, all right? But why did you come late? They take it personal. They think you insulted them. You imagine in front of all those people, they ask me why I came late. Now everybody knows I'm a late comer. Now they don't greet them again. They are keeping malice. It's a wrong culture. God says, get out. Get out. Like in Nigeria, you have country cultures of nations. Are in this place? What we call colloquial understanding. For example, African man time. Why not American man time? Or Jesus time? When someone says African man time, what are they talking about? You'll be late. God says, get out of that. Oh, and I'm serious. God is not late. So don't learn that culture. Get out. So there are cultures of nations. There are cultures of families. But when you get born again, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, old cultures, old malice keeping have what? Passed away. There are people that, they know how to sow seed of bitterness. They are bitter. They sow seed of bitterness. So, someone made them angry. Let's say this is my friend, all right? And he made me angry. And I know this is his friend, okay? So, I'll go and meet his friend. He didn't make his friend angry. He made me angry. I'll go and meet his friend. See, it's the way that guy does. His way is not, he talks anyhow. I should have solved my issue with him. Are you seeing it? Between me and him. Now, this guy will not even know we have issues. I just say, he talks anyhow. Talks anyhow. Even the way he looks. I don't, my spirit. It's not spirit. We had issues. But now, sowing the seed of bitterness. The day this guy mistakenly or even casually jokes with this guy, he'll remember what I said. And he'll take it personally. Now, these things happen, but there are people who, it is a culture. It's a culture. There's always someone they are trying to destroy. Always. God says, come out from that culture. It's unhealthy. Come out of it. Now, there is those who grew up in a culture of expectations. I'm ending now. Culture of expectations. You know what that means? They're always expecting something bad to happen. That's everybody in the family, they don't, if something is going well, they're always skeptical. They become concerned. This man had a job. This one got a job. So, they are expecting something to go wrong. Every time NEPA brings light for 2 days, they are expecting NEPA to take light. Now, that's just a joke. But I mean, people who don't believe success can last. There are people like that. They don't believe wealth can last. That's why you hear them say, this job that you have now, be saving. No, you never can tell what will happen. No, there are people that talk like that. This job you have, how much are you be saving? No, you don't know. They are telling, what a confession of faith, but in the wrong direction. You don't know what will happen? What are you trying to say? The man will lose his job, and sure enough, he will lose that job. He said, did you save? Did I not tell you to save? The culture of expectations, but the wrong expectation. You know, now the weather is cold, the rain is falling, no. Better take your drugs. You don't know what will happen. Did you just sneeze? Where this? They're expecting to be sick. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
They grew up the culture of expectations. But when you get born again, you change that culture. Expect the right things. Are you in this place?
Yes,
and be vocal about it. If before, I thought, you know, some of you something a few years ago. If before rain is falling, there is cold, and you say, I don't know, weather's like this, seasons like this, I always fall sick for like 3 days. And people talk like that. Change it. I say, if it comes to my mind, it doesn't come to my mind every time. But in weather's like this, I just notice that people give me money. Anytime it's cold like this, anytime I come out and I shake, that means money is coming. That's the right expectation. Are you in this place?
Yes.
It's better than saying to my shake, hey, sickness. No. Change it. Are you in this place?
Yes.
I ended this. The guy comes into the office. He comes in and says, CEO wants to see you. Hey, what did I do? What happened? Are they sucking people? So don't know. He just said we should ask for you when you come. Now, you can't sit down again. You go and meet your colleague. Did he say I want to see you? No. Did he say what happened? No. I don't know. This corona period. I don't know. Culture of expectation. What is he expecting? Bad news. Not sack. He's expecting bad news. They say by 12 o'clock, the devil 55 is outside. The pastor says, speak in tongues. God help me, help me. Now he comes in. The CEO turns his chair, he's already shaking. Say, congratulations, I want to promote you. Say, hey. Would that ever happen? Chances are no. It's your expectation you will meet at the door. Now you come, you don't even greet him. You don't remember to greet because you're so concerned. You come, say, can't you greet him? Sorry, sir, I don't know what I did, I'm sorry. No, they say the CEO is looking for you. Change your expectation.
Yes.
So that's good. Why does he want to see me? He started thinking about the good things you did. I've been coming early. That must be why. Are you seeing it? That must be why. But change your expectation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then, the most important, a culture of using the right words. There are people that they must say the wrong words, irrespective of their feeling. They are angry, they will swear. They are joking, they will swear. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Let's use the word order. He's angry, order. He's joking, order. He's normal, order. No matter his emotion, he must insult. That's how he grew up. Change it. There is power in your words. Are you in this place? Change it. Don't get used to that kind of thing. No. There are people like that. Someone is calling you there, you are laughing. You know, I understand you are used to it. But that is something wrong to get used to. Someone say you are stupid. And you are laughing. What does that mean? It means you are stupid. And then you are more stupid for laughing. No, that's what it means. Someone says you you're stupid, say, oh, please stop it. The truth is, people will test you. People that don't know you, they will test you. When they see the joke is too rough, they will stop. Be bold. Tell your neighbor, be bold. The people that are not bold. Someone says, foolish boy, foolish, see your nose, big, everything. The only thing that is big is your nose, brain, small, everything, small. Money, small, only big nose. And you're not bold, you don't like it. You don't like it, but you're laughing. Say, why are you doing me like this now? Why are you doing me like this now? He's right. You are proving him right that the brain is small. Because it was big. Say, please stop that kind of play. What is the meaning of that one? Let me just say this. I didn't say she insults him back. No. The culture. Change your words. Let me tell you something. And I've ended with this. When I hear people speak, I can tell how they are and how far they will go. Just by hearing them speak. Just by hearing them. I don't mean they should sell themselves to me. Do you understand? Don't come and tell me, Pastor, I'm a very brilliant person. You see me like this, I'm brilliant. Very sharp. It's okay. Anybody can say that. But the way you communicate on a normal day will tell me if you're brilliant or not. Are you saying it? The way you talk will tell me if you're brilliant or not. If I come in and you're insulting people, you are not stable. You're not direct. But change that culture. We have been born, the Bible says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That means you are royalty. People who are royal, they don't talk anyhow. They don't. They mind what they say. And it's true. You are royal. Mind what you say. Don't just talk anyhow. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Why? Because you're royal. It says a royal priesthood. That means you're a priest. You know who a priest is? Even in the village, the juju priests. People go to them because they believe they can hear from the gods. Right? They know the juju priest said this must be God, the gods talking. Now you are God's own priest. That means you have his ears. And you should have your own. So the way you talk like God's priests. Like so, you know God is listening to you. You talk like royalty. You're not a riffraff. Are you in this place? You're not a riffraff. Agbero-ness will never be cool. Are you in this place? It's never be cool. You dress well. Doesn't mean dress expensive. But dress seriously. Why? You're from a different kingdom. It's a different culture. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't want to dress in a way that, you know, when they are separating people, that they think should not sit down on that fine chair. It's you. It's all of you. People that will sit, people that will say, okay, you. They look at you, you wear your trousers, you didn't sag it well, your hair, you know, not very well, your clothes is not buttoned. Even you, will you not be surprised if they say, should go and sit in that chair? So they tell you, move. You say, I don't understand this discrimination. And if you don't value yourself, nobody will value you. And it's not their fault. Are you in this place? If you dress anyhow, don't be... Wonders of wonders. The guy dresses like an agbero. Then he gets offended when people treat him like an agbero. How is that possible? The way you dress will tell me how you want me to treat you. Are you in this place? If you dress like a thief, so says, how do thieves dress? You know. I remember a joke, a guy who dressed, you know, not the right way, and he's going somewhere, and police is passing. He said, arrest that guy, arrest that guy. Say, why? Say, the way he dressed, looks like he's going to thief. He's going to thief. Well, if you dress well, people will respect you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you have a new culture. Say, I have a new culture.
Hallelujah.
Culture of the word.
Culture of
royalty.
I'm
a good parent and I'm
a good child.
I treat my relationships
based on the word of
God.
I'm
a person of
purpose.
I'm
a person of
destiny.
I'm
walking in my
destiny.
I'm
succeeding
in my destiny. Say glory.
Glory.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the words that we have heard. Thank you for the corrections that we have received. Thank you for the instructions. Oh, go ahead and just thank him in your own words. If you learned something today, go ahead and thank him. If while you were listening, you got ideas of what you should do, some of you have to go and beg for forgiveness. Some of you have to change the way you talk. Some of you have to choose your friends. You have to have a meeting with your friends this evening because things have to change. If God ministered to you like that, go ahead and thank him. Ensure you're praying and thanking him.